السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أولى الناس به المتقون من كانوا حيث ما كانوا أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected brothers in Islam, students in Deen, I see most of you are many students of Deen. I'm also one of the students of Deen, Talibi Ilm, inshallah. So we'll talk on your level, inshallah. When I gave a talk, and Allah, He mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not look at your physical features, Allah looks what's in your heart. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ سُوَرِكُمْ وَأَجْسَامِكُمْ وَأَمْوَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah does not look at your outward appearance, how handsome you are, how fair you are. Does not look at your body, how strong you are, how many six packs you got here, how much muscles you got. Allah does not look at your bank balance, how rich you are, how much of properties you got, how much of investments you got. What to account, respected students and brothers? وَلَكِنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَىٰ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah looks at your heart. وَأَعْمَالِكُمْ. And Allah looks how much of good actions you do. So every person, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is escorting Hazrat Mu'az bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, and he's appointed as a governor towards Yemen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is walking, and Hazrat Mu'az is mounted on the animal. And thereafter, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells Mu'az radiallahu anhu that, oh Mu'az, perhaps when you return, you will not find me, but you will find the qabr, the roza, and the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam obviously didn't want to look at him with eye contact, because this was a sad occasion. My sahabi is going, and I am giving him the parting advices. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to make him feel comfortable, that he didn't want to look, make him look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make him feel sad and cry. After Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a statement, he told Hazrat Mu'az that inna awla an-nas bi al-muttaqun man kanu wa haythu kanu. That, oh Mu'az, the most closest of people to me is that person who has taqwa. Man kan, whatever he may be, whatever color he may become, he's got, whichever race group he belongs to, whichever country he comes from, وَحَيْسِمَنْ, and wherever he comes from. So the criteria, respected brothers, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at our hearts. How much of taqwa a person has. This to make us understand, where will you get this taqwa? You get it, for example, from the pious people. Especially those who have taqwa. The ulama, the mashayikh. And this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. The people of iman, all of us, every person, from the time that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, till the day of Qiyamah, every person is included in this verse. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. What are we asked to do? Ittaqullah. I will mention the definition of taqwa, inshallah. How to gain the taqwa? Allah says very easy. وَكُونُوا مَا صَادِقِينَ. Be amongst the truthful. Those who are genuine in their speech, genuine in their actions, those people who have taqwa. So he learned us from our elders. Just to make, give an example, one person was in charge of a boat, was rowing the boat, and certain youngsters, intellectuals, varsity, college students, also came on the boat. So now, as a simpleton, this poor person is rowing the boat, so one person asked this person who is rowing the boat, "Excuse me, sir, did you study biology?" So, Bicharo is rowing boat the whole day. "What does he understand biology?" He said, "I never understand. I never study biology. What is biology? I don't know." Then another person asked him, "Did you study psychology?" "Okay, psychology? What is that? I never studied that." Then they asked him all funny questions. Biology, psychology, sociology, chemology, and all ologies. Then he made a statement, these two of them, these two youngsters, they're laughing at this person. He said, "Oh, old man, looks like you wasted half your life." So this person was a simpleton. He said, "No man, I'm earning my rosy, rowing the boat." It so happened that there was a huge waves and storm that was overtaking the boat. And now water started coming to the boat. Now the verge was sinking. And now the two youngsters now started shivering. So this old man asked these two youngsters, "Do you know pulmonology?" "So pulmonology? Did you know escapeology?" "No, we don't know." Then he said, "Looks like you wasted the whole life." So anyway, what we learn from our elders, we need to stick to it, inshallah. And this we learn is sitting in the company of the elders. Doesn't mean now we go sit in the company of Adra Amit Sahib, ask him to teach us for me now. Person should learn what is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So respected brothers, I'll just mention one waqia, because many students over here. Imam Rajab Hanbali Rahmatullahi, we all heard his name. A great scholar, Hanbali scholar, mentioned one a very unique incident. And I mentioned this recently in one of the talks, and I thought it would be very, very beneficial, first of all, for me, for everyone here, inshallah, because we are students of deen. And I'll explain this from one ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. Which ayat? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. That whoever fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will open an exit for him. Allah will open the doorway for him. The second part, وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْسُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Allah will grant him sustenance from sources that he didn't even think where he's going to come from. In fact, these two incidents, one just came to mind, but we'll mention the first one. Allah give us time, inshallah, we'll mention the second one. There was a very, very great scholar in the fifth year of Hijri, Abu Bakr bin Abdul Baqi, rahmatullah alayhi. Very, very pious scholar. Imam Rajab Hanbali rahmatullah has given the introduction. This was a very, very pious scholar. And he used to study deen in Makkah al-Mukarramah. Then, this person, Abu Bakr bin Abdul Baqi now, he gives his entire incident. He says, "I was in Makkah al-Mukarramah, I was studying. And as time went on, I was heart-pressed. I started suffering from want and hunger. Because of his izzat, and because of his self-esteem, this does not allow him to now stretch his hands to anyone. Istighna. Qanaat, contentment. Istighna, to be independent. Not to ask of anyone." So he said that, "I don't have that haya and that modesty or of shame. I did not ask anyone." To such an extent, he mentions, now a situation came. Now I had to sell my kitabs. Sell my kitabs and with that wealth now buy food for myself. So he said, in this way time went on, started selling my kitabs one by one. Why? Because he had that self-respect, that istighna, that independence. He didn't want to stretch his hands to anyone. Then he mentioned on one occasion, he comes to the Haram Sharif. Al-Baqi, Minuskani of Abu Bakr, Rahmatullahi. He comes to the Haram Sharif, and then he notices in the Haram Sharif, there is a velvet pouch. Then he picks up the pouch, and he notices it, very, very beautiful pouch, shiny pouch, velvet, and it is tied with a silken cord. So nevertheless, he looks at it, he puts it into his pocket, and after some time he goes home. Now he takes out the pouch, now he's curious to know what's in this pouch. And then when he opens the pouch, he finds the most beautiful pearls that he had never ever seen in his life before. Such was the luster of these pearls that it illuminated the entire room. Imagine how bright those pearls were. And they came in different sizes. And he mentioned it was and what held these pearls together was a crimson, silken crimson cord. And he thought to himself that whoever has lost this pouch, has lost these pearls, maybe, unfortunately now, he has lost something very, very valuable. And he felt sorry for that person. So nevertheless, he took that pearls and he put it back into the pouch and he left it one side. And after he continues the story, he says, I go back to the Haram Sharif. I find there is a group of people there. And there is some activity, some elan is being made. So he goes close and he finds a very elderly person with a beard. And you can see he's got awe with knowledge and being a very pious person outwardly. And he makes an announcement. He said that I have lost something very, very valuable, a pearl necklace. And whoever finds it and will return it to me, for him there is a reward of 500 dinars, 500 gold coins. So this person, out of respect, he came to him. He holds his hand and he tells him, the chacha, the poor elderly person, would you be kind enough to follow me? So this person now started following Abu Bakr Rahmatullahi. In the meantime, Abu Bakr Rahmatullahi is heading towards the house and he's thinking now to himself, subhanallah, 500 dinars at stake. 500 dinars, what I can do? 500 dinars, I will do this and do that. So nevertheless, he comes home. Now he asks this person, this elderly person, can you just describe everything so that the ownership of this pouch and this pearls can be established beyond doubt. So this person now gives the exact description. It is a velvet pouch and it has a silken cord, and this pearls comes together with a crimson colored silk cord, and he's holding these pearls and he gives a description of the pearls, how many pearls, etc. So now this person said definitely that this person is the owner of the pearls and this pouch. So he comes and he gives it to this person. This person now opens it and now his eyes light up and now becomes ecstatic, becomes very, very happy. While this person now is holding these pearls, Abu Bakr Rahmatullahi, now a painful conflict of indecision goes through him. Now double-mindedness, he's in a predicament. He thinks to himself, am I deserving of that 500 dinars? Just by chance that thing came in. I just found it, by chance. My gaze fell down, I saw that pouch, I picked it up, and then do much effort, and I don't think I'm deserving of it. So while he's thinking about all this, so now this elderly person takes out the 500 gold coins and puts it forward. And he said, now the temptation was there to now stretch my hand. Understand, respected brothers, from Sharia point of view, totally 100% halal. Because he was entitled to it, it was a reward. Totally legitimate. Now this person is thinking, should I now? Then he decides that, oh elderly person, with due respect to you, I decline to take you this offer. And then he tells him that if whatever good I did, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will reward me. But it's one of Allah Akbar. The pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far more greater than this pulse, than the 500 dinars. This person persisted and told him that you are entitled to it, please take it. This person said, all due respect. This person now, dejectedly, he wakes up, pats him on the back, and then he goes. So respected others, now Abu Bakr al-Tanani continues with the story. He says, Alhamdulillah, after that incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened avenues of goodness to me. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. So he said everything started going smooth. He started studying again, and he qualified. And then respected brothers, to post in Cordoba, in Cordoba, in Hispania, in Spain, was available. And his ustad said, there is a post to become Qadiyatul Qudat, the chief justice minister of a judge in Spain. And now his ustad said, that I think you are very capable and you should go. So taking the advice of his ustad, he agrees. Now he's thinking to himself, subhanallah, the chief justice of Cordoba, of Cordoba, in Cordoba, in Spain, now he's waiting for me. And what a handsome, now, price is attached to it. In other words, the employment of his, the wages, obviously according to the darja and the level, will be of a very high level. So he mentions, he boards the ship, he goes to Jeddah. He's a sailing ship. And he said, alhamdulillah, for the first few days everything was going very, very smoothly. Then all of a sudden, he said that we were overtaken by a great, great storm, engulfed with huge waves like tsunami. And he said that sail broke and the mast to a tower. And then he said that he managed to cling to one of the floating boats, the boards. And many people, unfortunately, are drowned in the process. And he said, Alhamdulillah, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spared his life and he managed to drift towards the shores. Thereafter he continues with his incident. He says that now I was very, very hungry. I managed to crawl to and take shade under a certain thorny bush. And thereafter I was sent asleep. And not long after that, certain people came and they started dropping water onto my cheeks, on my lips. And I woke up, I was in a state of semi-consciousness, that was not knowing what was happening. And he finds that few people now get a stretcher, they put him on a stretcher and they take him. And then his eyes open up and he sees, and the thing that caught up his sight was the towering minaret, a very high minaret. After respected brothers, he recalls his incident. He says he goes to a certain person's house and they make his ikram and they say to him, because now health wise had deteriorated, became very, very weak. So the host of that house was by the name of Fadi Hassan. So now when he gained some strength, so he asked, where am I? Who are you? So this Fadi Hassan said that we found you at a place which was usually not threaded. In other words, not frequented by many people. We saw some vultures hovering in the air. So I told my friend, let's go investigate. So alhamdulillah, we found you. We put some water on your lips. And then we took you on a stretcher and we brought you home. And he said, where am I? He said, you're on one of the coastal cities of Yemen. And thereafter he mentions his incident. And he tells the people that what happened to him on the boat, and what happened to the storm, and how he managed to come to shore, etc. Then he continues with his story. He says, alhamdulillah, they were very good to him. And then there was a very elderly person by the name of Ahmed. He was like a fatherly figure towards him. A lot of affection to this person, who? Abu Bakr bin Abdul Baqi. So he said, alhamdulillah, now when I started gaining my strength, and I told him that we are heading towards to become the chief justice of Cordova. So he started going to the masjid. So it so happened one day, this Imam Ahmad, he was a temporary Imam, for some reason he was late. So now they told him that you should take the musalla. So he put all excuses forward. And after much hesitance, finally he had to accept, he had to go forward, perform the salah. And after the salah, he gave a sermon, a khutbah. So people were very, very happy with his recitation of the Quran al-Kareem and his khutbah that he had given. This Ahmad person, who was the temporary Imam, came forward and hugged him and said, I'm very impressed with your qiraat and with your khutbah, etc. Then this Abu Bakr rahmatullahi alayhi thought to himself that I spent a lot of time over here in this coastal town. Now it's time for me to proceed, because I've overstayed my welcome over here. I stayed too long. Then, it's, respected brothers, it so happened that the temporary Imam comes with Father Hassan, and they come to him and they explain to him that I'm only the temporary Imam over here. Our regular Imam, unfortunately, has passed away. And you're a very, very pious person, elderly person. And we have love for him and respect for him. So now there is a vacancy over here, and we have no doubt that you are most eligible and the most perfect person to take the job. So this person said that I can't really stay here because I need to go to Spain in Cordova. But he insisted. And then Suhail came front and told him that for Allah's pleasure, we ask you to take this imamate post. Then he thought about it and he said, inshallah, I will accept. So imagine, he sacrificed that great post in Cordova, that great numeration, the great wealth in the form of wages. He sacrificed all that and he took up this post. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Then he continues, he said, alhamdulillah, I started coming to the masjid and now I started making imamate. I opened the maktab, started teaching little children, started having adult classes, and I started familiarizing myself with the community, with my environment. And after some time, the Sahil comes, and he said the person is not complete until he becomes married. I'm not making tashkila for students to get married now. This person was already an alim now. So nevertheless, this person tells him that our late Imam had a very beautiful daughter which came under my guardianship. And I sought her upbringing, her tarbiyat, etc. And she's a very extremely beautiful woman and very pious woman at the same time. So this person said, if Allah wills, if my match has been made with her, then I will accept. So they put a proposal forward and she accepts. Alhamdulillah, now the nikah is performed. Now, respected brothers, we come to the second aspect, وَيَرْزُقُمْ مِنْ حَيْسُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. So this person says, Abu Bakr says, I come home, it's my first night, and I'm escorted by Suhail, who is the guardian of this woman. And then he looks at her, and he's dumbfounded, such a beautiful, attractive woman. And he looks at her, looks at her face, then his gaze comes down, and now it becomes riveted around the neck of that woman. Around the neck of that woman he finds that very pearls that he had found in Makkah, in which he had returned. And he looking at it dumbfounded with his eyes open and his mouth is open gaping at her. So this Suhail doesn't know what is happening. So he tells, shakes him up and said, oh Abu Bakr, that don't get so engrossed with the pearls. She is yours and the pearls are yours. And now this Suhail tells this person that there is a great history behind this pearls. He said the Imam, who is the father of this daughter, had taken this pearls with him to Makkah to Mukarramah, either to shine it or for some reason or the other, and he had lost it. And then he gives the whole Kaugazari what happened before, that he lost it, and then some youngster found it, and then offered a reward of 500 dinars. And he said, مَا وَجَدْتُ فِي هَذِي الدُّنْيَا كَهَذَا الَّذِي رَدَّ لِيَا هَذَا الْأَقْتِ. That never ever did I find in the dunya such a person who returned his necklace to me. And this elderly person tells the community, if only I could go back and if I could find this person and ask him that if he could accept the hand of my daughter in marriage. SubhanAllah. So this person now is thinking and he's crying. And he turns his face, Abu Bakr turns his face to this elderly person and tells him that, oh Ahmad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in mysterious ways. That I was the very person who found that necklace, that pearl necklace, and returned it to this girl's father. SubhanAllah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. But he doesn't end there, brothers. He said he gets married to her. In the Rajab Amal al-Rahtai continues, he said, he gets few children from her. And Allah had will that she had passed away. Now the pearl necklace became a source of inheritance. And slowly, one child after the other started passing away. To that extent, that now he was the sole inheritor of that pearl necklace. And he says, that thing came into my possession, and I sold it for 100,000 ashrafiyah. 100,000 gold coins. SubhanAllah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُّ مِنْ عَيْسُ لَا يَحْتَسِمْ. So where did he start off, respected students? He started off in the Haram Sharif. When he found the pouch. And then he sacrificed the 500 dinars for something more greater. For Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. And how Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will that this youngster now qualified. Now he became the imam of the town. Started teaching the people. And now he started teaching the children and the elderly people. And he got married. And eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will that very necklace to come in his possession. So this taqwa, respect to the brothers, is something very, very important. The second kissa, inshallah, will mention. In India, he was a very young person studying deen in the masjid. And it happened, it's very common in India where rites take place. Hindu-Muslim rites take place. So it so happened that when rites broke out, there was a very young girl from a very noble family. Noble family in the sense that her brothers were princes, were prince, and her father was a king, etc. So now in the time of rites, every person now has to look for some shelter so that a person can be safe on the rites because their life is at stake. So she comes to the masjid and she saw the door is closed. But between the crevices of the door, she sees that there is a light that is burning, a candle that is burning. So she knocks on the door and the door is open. Who opens the door? A youngster, the Talib ilm. And here is a beautiful woman. If it was one of us, he says, SubhanAllah. Everything on the plate that he saw comes to us, right to us, right to our doorstep. Now because he was a very pious person, he said, but what do you want? He said, rights are breaking out. Please, I need some shelter. I need some refuge. He said, how can I let you in? What will the authority say? The mutawallis? What will the principal will say? He said, please, I'm desperate. I'm a Muslim. And you're a Muslim. Surely come to me. Nevertheless, this person lets her in. And he tells her, okay, you can sleep in one corner. And this person, respected brothers, was a very devoted student. And he started learning his deen. And thereafter, respected brothers, time and again, he used to take his hand and put it into the flame of the fire and take it out. Put his hand to the flame of the fire and take it out. And it so happened this girl had to wake up with some urge. And she had seen this, she had witnessed this. Now, before Fajr, this person woke up the girl and said, now it's time for you to go. Because now, Tuhmat will be cast against me. If people at the time of Fajr come and find you over here, what will they say? So now everything is safe, everything is now, everything is cooled down at the moment. So now it's time for you to go. So this girl says, please tell me that I observed something very unique about you. That when I woke up in the early part of the morning to relieve myself, I found that every time you take your hand and put it into the fire engine. So he said, that is none of your business. You better carry on. Don't mind my business. You know, woman too, sometimes they're stubborn. She said, I will not move until you tell me. So now he had to tell her. So he told her that every moment dust and shaitan were plaguing him with the spots. There is everything ready made here. A young girl. You can fulfill your desires with her. And you can chase her out. And you can make some excuse. So there's an opportunity for you to convert to fornication, zina. Then I thought to myself that then I should put my hand into the fire and think that, oh Banda, oh servant of Deen of Islam, if you cannot tolerate the fire of this world, how are you able to tolerate the fire of the hereafter? So in this way, this now stopped him from going to fulfill his desires with that woman. So this woman was very impressed with his akhlaq. So here again, what does Allah look? This person was from a very poor background. He wasn't even handsome too. And she was a very pretty woman on the other hand. Very rich girl. Noble family. She goes back home. Now, respected brothers, time came now, many proposals came for this girl. And she started declining. One, second, third, fourth. So the father asked the daughter, is there something wrong with you? There's so many people from noble families, rich, rich families, people, boys that are handsome, are coming and proposing for you. Why is it that you are declining every proposal? Then she tells the father, oh my father, the only time I will get married and the only person I will get married is to a certain youngster. The father asked, who is this youngster? Then she said that he is in that certain masjid in where last I found him. And this, if I have to get married, I will get married to that youngster. So the father goes, and then he goes to the masjid, he finds the young boy. At that time now, he's also of age of getting married. And then he accepts the proposal. And alhamdulillah, they get married. And through the birth of this union, every child that was born was a Hafiz Alim Qari of Deen. Where did he start? Ya again of taqwa. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. And respected students, we all know the Quran al-Kareem. There are three things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeat often in the Quran al-Kareem. What are the three things? Ya ayyuhallazina amanu, O people of Iman. Many, many verses you find. Secondly, dhikran. Uzkuru Allah dhikran kathira. Second verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats often is dhikr of Allah. The remembrance of Allah. And the third thing that you'll find, which is very, very often in the Quran al-Kareem, is the taqwa. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what is this taqwa? There are three levels of taqwa. One is, respected brothers, Allah save us all, taqwa from kufr and shirk. That a person saves himself from kufr and shirk. And the second category is to stay away from gunas, to stay away from haram. As the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, ittaqil maharim taqul a'badan nas. That, oh Abu Hurairah, stay away from haram, will be regarded as a person who worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the most. Ya Allah, not any of tsunami, excessive tilawat, tahajjud, and zikr. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stay away from haram. So that is the level we should work towards. And the third level is a very, very high level, the level of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, where they protect their hearts from everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That their heart only entails the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very high level. And we are not asked to come to that level. But we are asked to come to the second level. That a person stays away from gunas, a person stays away from all types of evil. We are all students of deen. There is a very pious person from Madinatul Munawwara, Haji Naquda Sahib, Dama Barakato. It is mentioned on occasion, he went to Hazrat Shaykh, his Shaykh, Shaykh Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali, and told him that I'm gone very old now, but my desire is to become an alim. My desire is to become an alim. Alhamdulillah, we'll find in our eras today, many people, alhamdulillah, in professions, doctors and other professions, lawyers, etc., who became lawyers and doctors, and thereafter, alhamdulillah, Allah gave them the tawfiq to go sit in a dar and become ulama. So, he told Hazrat Shaykh Antalani that this is my desire, but I'm very old now, what should I do? And the Shaykh Antalani told him that fear taqwa, have taqwa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you knowledge. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ Have taqwa, and Allah will teach you knowledge. Subhanallah. And if Haji Naquda Sahib, if a person doesn't know him, and if you sit on the mimbar and give a talk, you will ask yourself, where does Arim came from? Where did he qualify? Subhanallah. What ulum Allah has given him? This is the barakah of taqwa. So we are becoming students of deen. We are becoming ulama. Allah make it easy for all of us. But the pathway towards this respective students is that a person should adopt taqwa. And how to gain this taqwa? Very easy. As I mentioned, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. We'll mention one example inshallah and we'll terminate. You know, example, in South Africa, normally in the December period, we'll find many people upgrading their homes security-wise. They'll hire a security guard, they'll put CCTVs, they'll put burglar alarm, they'll put laser beams, etc. Why? They understand now, December period is the time now we will find a lot of robberies, a lot of break-ins. Why do people do all that? Because they want to protect their valuables. Protect their family, their wife, their children. Protect their wealth, the gold, the silver, the jewelry, the wealth, whatever it is. So they employ all this form of security. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of us. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has given us something very, very valuable. And that is in our house, in the heart of in the home of the heart. And that the greatest commodity is what? Is our iman. Just like people rob other people, break into the houses and steal and rob and loot. So many in that heart of ours, we have treasures of Allah Ta'ala's anwar, of tajalliyat, of Allah's gems and pearls, of Allah Ta'ala's marifat and love, of all good deeds and akhlaqa hamidiyah in that heart. So now, nafs and shaitan are the thieves. And in these times of fitna, which is the peak period, nafs and shaitan wants to now come and steal everything from the heart, wants to rob us of our iman, wants to ravage that heart of ours and remove all the good qualities. So now we also need to step up our security, the security of the heart. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the system of security and the security company. What is the system of security? Ya ayyuhallazina amanu taqullah. That is the system of security. Taqwa will protect that heart. And what is the security company? Wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. So to say, respect to brothers, many times in our times we hire security guards. But these people become accomplices. They will give inside information. They will give the inside information. So we must come certain time. You must do this, you must do that. There's the exit over here. There's the entrance over here. But these Allah wala and these security companies, you pay high figures. But the security company of our hearts, respected brothers, the awliya Allah, they will not charge you anything. They will not charge you any fee. So now we sit in their company. And then, respected brothers, we gain this taqwa. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَعْدَنٌ وَمَعْدَنُ التَّقَّى قُلُوبُ الْعَارِفِينَ. Everything has a mine. Gold mine, silver mine, salt mine. And the mine for taqwa is the قُلُوبُ الْعَارِفِينَ, are the hearts of those who recognize Allah. What we call أَهْلِ دِلْ, the mashaykh. Alhamdulillah, we will find throughout our country, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never it happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kun ma sadiqin, Allah did not produce the sadiqin. Every errant will be the sadiqin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba radiallahu anhum, tabi'in, tabi tabi'in. After that, the ulama, the mashayikh, the scholars of deen. Right till the day of qiyamah, inshallah, Allah ta'ala will produce the sadiqin. So these are the ones we sit in their company. And they taqwa, inshallah, rub up on our hearts as well. Just to sit in their company, respective others. And this will protect our hearts. So these are qualified mashayikh. Unfortunately, today we'll find a lot of fly-by-nights. A lot of bogus peers. And false sheikhs. One person took bayat, pledge of allegiance in the hands of a bogus peer. But he said, this person not right. He is killing, milking his murids of money. Doesn't read his five time namaz in the masjid. Ask him, have you read namaz? We are read in Madinah and Munawwara. Don't question me. I'm a great buzruk. I fly to Madinah and I come back. So this person says, no, something not right. So this person comes. He says, Sheikh, I saw a dream. Acha? What dream you saw? I saw that there is honey on your fingers. So the Sheikh says, Subhanallah, honey. Shifa'u linnas. I'm a great buzruk. I'm a very, very pious person. For me, people will take gems from me. Honey is very good. He said, Sheikh, and continuing with the dream, he said, I saw this number of excreta on my fingers. So yeah, that's a problem with you all. You're like dunya dar. You've got evil and filth on your hands all the time. We are the mashayikh, we've got honey, sweet, shifa. You've got filth on your fingers. But Sheikh, I'm still continuing the dream. He said, don't carry on. He said, I saw myself licking your fingers. He said, Subhanallah, the interpretation of that is you must sit in my company more. And you must give me more checks. Pay for my umrah bills. Pay for my accommodation, everything. He said, but Sheikh, still continuing in the dream. And I saw you sucking my fingers. He said, come back. You're a wretched person, get out of here. So now we get a lot of bogus peers. So now we need to be careful. So one way of getting this taqwa, as I mentioned on these two incidents, the barakat of taqwa, so many in'ams, so many rewards of taqwa. So how to gain this taqwa? That is why, alhamdulillah, we are having this Islahi Jalsa here in Newcastle. For the sole purpose, how we can make tazkiyah of our nafs. How we can purify our heart. And the month of Ramadan is coming. Ideal opportunity now. The month of Ramadan is for taqwa. And now we are discussing taqwa. How to gain this taqwa? It is sit in the company of the buzruks, of the pious people. And we have the caliber of our Shaykh Abdul Hamid Sahib, Dar Barakatu, very senior alim of our country. Mawlana has spent many years in the work of Tabliq Jamaat as well. Mawlana Hamla has taken breath, took breath to Hazrat Shaykh Hamdul Ali, and also Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatul Ali. And Mawlana is doing many, many people, alhamdulillah, took breath the hands of Mawlana and changed their lives. So, we got the opportunity, respected brothers, to sit in the talks of these mashayikh and to learn about deen. What is our responsibility to deen? That is sunnah. To take that is sunnah. But to make tazkiyah, to purify our hearts of all the spiritual melodies that we have left in our hearts, that is very, very important. And these are the three mashayikh. We'll end off with one light note, joke. One person was undergoing operation. very young person. So he's walking up and down, pacing up and down. He said, such a young person, I'm married, got few kids, they'll put me under chloroform, they'll cut me, etc. So now they told him, okay, now you have to go into the ward, surgical ward, you're going to undergo the operation. So now, he's lying down, he's worried. Next minute, a young nurse comes in and a young doctor comes in. So now the nurse starts speaking. Don't worry. It's always the first time. Don't worry. Before you know it, you'll get over it. You'll recover very, very quickly. So this person lying down, he said, thank you so much. I'm feeling so nice that you're comforting me with these words. So the nurse tells him, excuse me, I wasn't talking to you, I was talking to the doctor. Because this is his first operation. Now what will happen to that bicharo? So now, yeah, there is no first operation taking place, inshallah. These are qualified spiritual heart specialists, inshallah. All of us, inshallah, will take part in the program, inshallah. And so what's the object of this program? Who can tell me? Tazkiyah, mashallah. Tazkiyah is sunnat or is it faraz? Faraz. It is? Faraz. So inshallah, all of us will make an attempt, inshallah, to make tazkiyah for one of us, inshallah. And once we make tazkiyah, inshallah, you will see how Allah Ta'ala will make us shine out there, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala will grant us qabuliyat. Allah, innama yataqabbalu Allah minal muttaqin. Allah will accept from us as well. So this is now, as I mentioned, the month of Ramadan is coming. The 15th of Shaban is coming. Don't wait for the 15th of Shaban and say, I will change my life. Don't say, I will wait for the month of Ramadan to come, I will change my life. No, no. While sitting here, a person now makes tawbah, and he makes sincere tawbah, and he has a regret. And now he sits in the company of the mashayikh. Now he has the focus. Now he has the sense of direction in life. And now he says, now I want to change my life. Subhanallah. Inshallah, the object of yours will be accomplished, inshallah. Allah first and foremost, give me the tawfiq and beautify me and all of us with the beautiful quality of taqwa, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanallah.